Daf is Daf Mem Gimel. Let's pick it up from the bottom of Mem Beis. Mem Beis is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamudah Harna from Michavero, Lo Yashlenu Velo Yisham Benu. A person who cannot get any Harna from his friend through a net that was taken, he cannot lend an object to somebody and he cannot borrow from that person. Lo Yalvenu, he can't lend him money. Lo Yalvenu, can't borrow money from him. He may not buy or sell from this individual. All this is going to be explained in the Gemara, Iran tells us. So, okay, right, Iran just tells us, I guess, some obvious to us, but the rod in the bottom line says, the last two lines, the Mudar, the one who cannot get Ne'ahana, cannot borrow from the Madir, the one who is usher to the mudar, right? The ha mishani minay, because the mudar is going to be getting hana by borrowing something. And sheila, the word sheila means shayach b'midah dehader be'ain ki behema v'kelim. Something that remains intact, the object, you borrow behema and you return a behema, you borrow kelim, you return kelim, that's the lashon sheila, and the lashon halva, shayach b'midah delohader ben kalvas mos. Something that you don't return the actual item that you borrowed money, you pay the same amount of money, but you don't pay back the same exact coins or bills that you were given. So that's just a pashup shot in terms of halva versus sheila. So Gemara now says on the top of Mem Gimel and Aleph Bishlama. So I understand lo yalvenu dukamani le. So I understand why the madir may not lend money to the mudar, because the mudar can't borrow money. The mudar is going to be violating the iser neder. Ela lo yalvi heimanu mai. Why can't the madir borrow money from the mudar? That's my kahamani le. The mudar is giving away money. That should be okay for the madir. It's a little backwards how the lines are, but the madir should be able to borrow money from the mudar because the mudar is losing money, if anything. And further, bishma lo yelva himanu, lo yikach himanu, kimushani minei. And also it makes sense that he can borrow, he can't borrow from him. Wait a second. So how did we answer the question there, though? Aha. Also what makes sense is that the Bishma lo yavimenu, that the mudar now, from his perspective, because the Mishnah seems to say both the madir and the mudar are both equal, whatever direction, it makes sense that the mudar cannot borrow money from the madir, and it also makes sense lo yikachimanu, he cannot buy something from him because he's getting something, even though he's paying for it, he's still getting an object that wasn't accessible, wasn't available to him before him. Because the mudar is not getting hana from either borrowing money or buying something. But why can he not borrow something from him? Why was the problem of why borrowing from him? He's getting an object that he wasn't available from beforehand. I'm a little confused here about the madir versus the mudar. So let's see how the Mishita says it. So we got it right. Okay, let's take it from the top. Bishma lo yavenu. I understand why the madir cannot borrow money from the mudar. I'm sorry, why he can't lend money to him, rather, because the mudar is getting hana. But lo yavenu, the madir, why can't the madir borrow money from the mudar? That doesn't make sense. My kamani le. So we're good with that. And then bishma lo yilva heimanu lo yikach menu. Dimin kumsani minei, because the mudar.
Uh-huh. Seems to have a different
curse. Okay, so let's stick with the Masifta for now, just for the sake of clarity. So the Masifta says then, then we can look afterwards, maybe they run. The Masifta says, I also understand why the mudar, why the madir cannot borrow money and cannot buy from him, because when he borrows money, he might be borrowing bad coins from the mudar, and he'll be returning back better coins. So in the returning of the money, the mudar might get hana. So that now makes sense a little bit. And also when he buys something, so he might be buying something that people are not so interested in buying. It wasn't a good sale, and this madar is willing to buy from him, so the mudar is getting hana. He couldn't have sold it elsewhere, and suddenly this guy is buying it. So I could at least think of a case here where that would be a certain amount of hana. That's not always going to be hana when you buy something from him. That's not always going to be hana when you borrow money from him. But it will be, there will be certain instances where you could say, okay, maybe it's a specific case where there's hana. Lo yishal himanu, the mother, why can the mother not borrow from the mudar? There's no heichatimsi we could think of that the mudar would ever be getting hana from lending out an object, because that same object is always going to be returned back to the mudar. Again, the case of money, it's possible he'd be giving away worse money, getting back better money. But by the sheila case, it's always the same object that's coming back. So now he also quotes here the girsa of the Ran here in the Masifta on the side here. So the girsa of the Ran, however, is, let's see, let's read through Ran now. The Ran says, Bishlama lo yava mimenu lo yikach mimenu lo yisha mimenu. I understand why Kolomer mudar mihamadir. Now it's the opposite, right? We were reading it, the mother from the mudar, that was the Rashi, the Mefarshi's pshat. Now the Ran saying the mudar from the mother. This comes up a few places in the, we haven't gotten so confused yet in the Gemara, but there are places like this that mother and mudar get very confusing. So this is, I think, the first example we're seeing this to be very confusing. So the Ran says it's all the mudar from the mother. The mudar cannot borrow money. We understand why that makes sense. He can't buy from him because he's getting an object that wasn't available to him. And he also can't borrow something from him because he also something he's borrowing something that wasn't available. That all makes sense. To come mitzani minei mishum hachi aser. The Ran is much easier to read than what we have. Lo yashilenu, why can't the mudar borrow or lend something to the mother? Lo yavenu, why can't he not lend money? Lo yimchalo, why can't he sell something to him? My kamitani, what hana is the mudar getting by giving something away? That's a much clearer read, I think, than the girsa in front of us.
The girsa that we read just now in the Masifta. So we answer the first question with the second question.
Exactly right. It's very strange. The second question never really answered it, but it was implied that there was somewhat of an answer, right? So the Ran seems to be a clear read of the Gemara. Not perhaps the girsa, but it makes sense. So the answer to the Gemara is, so Amar Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi explains, Rabbi Chanina, Kegon Shenidru Hana Zemizet. A situation where they're both a Madar and Mudar to each other. They took an Isser and Adar to each other, so that's why in both directions it's going to be a Isser. So then that's the answer of Rabbi Yossi. And then Abaye Amar, Gezeira Lishal Mishum Lahashil V'chein Mekul Gezeira. You're right. It's taking the Ran's read for a second. There's no problem of the Mudar lending out money or lending out an object or selling something. But we're concerned if you deal with him that direction, it's possible it might turn to the other direction where you might borrow from him, whether it be money, whether it be came, or you might buy something from him, and therefore it was Usher. So one of those two answers will explain this Mishnah. So the Ran says here, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Kegon Shenidu Hana Zemzet. A situation where they took an Isser Neder from one another. V'chitema Imkein Mai Kamashlan. What's the Chiddush here? It's obvious, if they took a nether to each other, so what's the Mishnah telling us? Of course they can't lend to each other and sell and buy to each other. So nira the stamlan k'Rabbi Eliezer d'amar v'itar aser b'muda hana. This seems to tell us, the chiddush is, that we have a stam Mishnah here, which indicates that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why is that so clear? Why is that stam k'Rabbi Eliezer? I think everyone would agree to this case. That'd be usher to borrow. He's not talking about and vitor. He's not talking about drisas regel. So I'm not sure what the Ran's saying. Okay, I don't know. So let's look at this next Ran now. The Ran says, "Abai amar gezera lishol mishum l'hashil v'chein kulum gezera." The only reason why it's usher for the mudar to lend something out is because it might lead to him borrowing something from the madir. To mishum hachi asrina nami limchor lo atul likach m'menu. Therefore, it's also usher to sell an object because it might lead to buying an object from the madir. So vafagav the tanan le'el peperek dalad nedar. Even though we learned around 12 days ago, she'enu nehen lishol lokach b'yeser. You cannot get hana by buying more, umocher b'pachas, and selling for less. She'esol nadin lo, lokach b'pachas, umocher b'yeser, because it's going to be getting a certain hana. If you get a bargain from this guy, that's considered hana. And if you sell for more than you normally get, and you're getting a gain, that's hana also. And we see there, v'amin alad, b'sugya and delayal, d'chol heicha d'havi zvina charifa shari, when it's a very much desired object, it's permitted mudar l'mchor l'madir, lo gazina. So why over there, we only prohibited buying and selling when there's an extra profit being gained. But if it's at market value, then it's all permitted. How come here we say across the board it's usher to sell? Why is there no gzera by the case earlier? It's only when it's again you're getting an extra gain. So kfar kasam Rambam, the Rambam writes, the hasam came into him ikulu yisrael nader lo gazun Allah. There the situation was where he ushered himself from selling to anybody. So there's no gzera. Di gazun Allah, if we made such a gzera, he can't sell to anybody. And then he has to go ahead and get hana from a guy, and that's going to be a tremendous tircha. which is a fascinating thing. If there's an Isser, there's an Isser. Let's just read the rest of the line here. Valkan, she'eino aser ela lanos chaveo bavad. Here it's a very narrow nether, only to this one individual. He could withstand the gzera, and he could buy and sell to another Jew who didn't make a nether from. But in the previous case, where there is a nether to the entire klai, so we don't keep that gzera. So the klal is what he's trying to indicate. I think is the Gemara Babas, which tells us, which we know that kol gzera she afshar tzibur lamod alav ein gozer. I forget exactly exact language, but if there's a gzera that tzibur can't handle, we're not gozer. It sounds like that's the same klal here. If the guy makes a gzera to all of Klai Yisrael, he can't handle that. It's a tremendous tircha to go buy and sell from goyim, which by the way sounds like, I'm not sure why that's such a tircha, but I guess they had completely separate marketplaces and completely separate. That'd be a tremendous tircha to go buy and sell from a goy. Which is, again, to me, very interesting. Okay. Now back to the Gemara. The new mission. The mission tells us, Masnisin Amar lo hishilanu parasecha. So he says to his chaver, lend me your cow. Amar lo ena panuya. He's not available. I can't lend it to you. I'm sorry. So I assume we're talking about a case of a madir and a mudar. Rashi says, where is it? Ah, just stam. Okay, I guess I'm not wrong. Is that argued?
It's because of your assumption, Mark. The parish had to tell us.
Right, I guess so.
It's a good presumption.
But I think it's saying here that others say, it is talking about Madir and Mudar. Let's see. I think it's talking, according to, does the article say anything about Madar versus Mudar?
It says this case is unrelated to the general topic of the chapter.
Okay. It's an independent sugya here. There's a first sugya, nothing to do with the Dharm. So the Mishnah tells us again, Amar lo hishalanu parasecha. I say to Reuven, please lend me your cow. Amar lo einu puna. He says it's not available. Amar konim, So Amar konim sadai, shani chorish ba, liolam im haya darcho lechorosh. I say back to him, so my field that I plow will be liolam, will be usher forever to you. I guess I'm saying back to Reuven that. Let's see. Okay, so Rabbi Ranger tells us that Reuven's upset at me. See, it says konim shasada shani charish ba liolam. So the response, I'm upset at Reuven, I guess. He didn't want to lend me the cow. So I say back to him, Shoel Amar Kach, I'm the borrower. Amar Kach Lechaver, Mitoch Shekas, I love, I'm very upset. He didn't lend me the cow. Shelo Ratul Ashililo. So I say to him that my field is Aser, that Aser to you forever. Or it's mean that my field is Aser for your cow to ever plow my field. So the Mishnah says, Im haya darcho lachroshu aser. If my field in fact is some type of field that normally gets plowed, then it's the iser, the nether's chal, the chol adam mutarim. But everyone else is mutar. That only Ruvain is aser to plow my field, but everyone else is permitted. Vim ein darcho lachrosh hu v'chol adam aser. But if it's a field that is not normally plowed, not only is it also for Reuven to plow my land, but it's also for everybody, even for Adam and Harry to plow my land, would be forbidden as well. So let's look at the Ran here. The Ran says, Im haya darcho lachrosh hu aser v'chol adam mutar. Shechevin shu chorish, since he plows, ein b'mashmosh l'shono ela charishasa b'vlad. Since it was normally plowed, when I meant charisha, I meant it literally, and therefore only charisha is also nothing else. But if it's not normally plowed, then he and everyone else is aser. Shelo niskavin lacharishaso came shein darach lachosh. When I said charisha, I didn't really mean charisha because no one ever plows my land. Ela shelo yehena becharishaso achavim. What I mean to say is he cannot get hana from any plowing that's done. Umishim hachi, and therefore hu v'chol adam asurin lachosh b'shvilo kidei shelo yehena becharishaso. Therefore he and nobody else and everybody else is aser to plow it for the purpose of Reuven getting hana from it. I mean, people can plow my land for me to get hana, or for them to get hana. It just can't be plowed for Reuven. Reuven cannot get any hana. When I say harisha, since my land is not really plowed, it means any type of hana would be aser to Reuven. I think that's what he's saying. Is that correct? Yeah.
Why is there hana from Reuven for me from the land?
Right. So let's say they plow my land and they grow fruit, and then you want to get hana from the fruit. So that, I think that's what he's referring to. Since the fruit came about from the Harisha, ultimately. I think. No?
Let's see. Even others may not plow the field for him with this cow.
Right.
Oh, with this cow.
Oh, with this cow.
This cow.
With this cow. So the first case is where it normally is plowed, so only he can't plow it with the cow, but others can use that cow to plow it?
Because that assumes that the netter was that he's mustering his plow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't use my plow.
That's if he usually does the plow.
If he's my gardener.
Yeah, but if he never does the plowing anyway, then he's not mustering himself because he never does it anyway, so that means it's... No one can do the plowing with that cow.
Okay, I see. Oh, okay. So we're talking about the cow is definitely the cow's the gardener here. Let's say the lawnmower, and the question is whether Reuven lent out the lawnmower or is he actually the gardener who's pushing the lawnmower? So if I say that this cow, since you lent me this cow, is going to be usser. So if Reuven normally the gardener who does the plowing, so he can never garden and plow my land. But if he doesn't do the actual gardening, he just gives his cow out to others to use. So and then I said this isser. Then when I meant harisha, I meant this cow is usser. Even if Adam's going to be doing my plowing using his cow, even Adam can't do it either. Is that that's correct? Okay. Fine. Then the Mishnah says hamod muda harna mechavero, a person who cannot get hana from his chaver vein lama yochel, nothing to eat. And I guess it's a situation where the chaver was a wealthy person or normally supported him, perhaps. So you have nothing to eat now. So what do? How do you get around this? The guy, it's a pikuach nefesh. So holeich eitzel achenvani, he should go to the storekeeper. Who should go? The madir, the mudar. Let's see which one's going here. The madir. The madir should go, who's the wealthy individual, should go to the chenvani. V'omer, he should say, ish ploni, no dirimeni hana. This individual... Shimon said he doesn't want to get hana from me, but I know he needs money. He needs to eat. Venio de masa, I don't know what to do to help him out. He's no food. Who knows in law? So what happens is that the chenvani should give to the chenvani supports the mudar. He says, okay, I'll take care of it. Says the storekeeper. He comes in or out, give him some milk, I'll give him some food, some crackers, some bread. Uba venota mizeh. And then afterwards, after paying it, the chenvani is going to go ahead from this collect money from the madir. Any of that money that was paid off. Okay, so that's how you get around. Since it's not being direct anymore, it's going through this third party, that the Mishnah tells us would be permitted. Haya beso livnos. So let's say the muda needed has to be built. Or gadro ligdor, or needs to build a fence. So de ligdor, his field needs to be cut. Holech etal palim. And he should go over to the workers. The mother should go over to the worker. No, in this case, the mother goes over to the workers. Vomer ish ploni mudar mi meni hanas. I guess the mother is the contractor here. And the mudar said, I can't get enough from you. So the mother is not able to service out his workers. So what happens is, the mother says to the palm, you guys, vomer ish ploni mudar mi meni hanas. Our client, it now has taken a nether. He can't get enough from any of us. Or at least from me. Venu de masa, I don't know what to do. So what happens is the workers work on their own. They say, okay, don't worry, we'll take care of it. They go and they build the house, they go and build the fence, they go and cut the field down. After they do all that, they should go, they go ahead to buy, to collect money from the contractor, and he'll pay them off for all of this. Another scenario, they're walking along the way, and they have nothing to eat, and they're also to get enough from each other. They should give to one of the people in Matana, and then he may eat from it. So I guess there are three people who are walking along the way here. Exactly, right. So the Madir has a big package of food. He's carrying the cooler. The Mudar can't get enough from him. And there's another guy walking along the middle. So the two guys on the outside are not talking to each other, but the guy's getting hungry and really thirsty. So the Madir says, okay, I feel bad. The guy's going to die. He gives to Shimon in the middle, here's a drink of water, it's a present for you. And then Shimon says, okay, I like this guy next to me. I don't want him to die. So he gives the Mudar something to drink. And since it passed through a third party, this is permitted as well. But im ein imam acher, let's say there's no other third party, just the two of them, and they're walking. They're not talking to each other. They can't get enough from each other. The poor guy is really thirsty. It's in the desert. So what are you supposed to do here? There's no third party. So im ein imam acher, what he should do is meniach al hasela, al ha'gedah, he should place it, a bottle of water on the stone, the rock, place it on the fence. V'omer harehin mufkar lechol mi. He won't talk to the guy, but it's him hefker. Whoever wants it, it's all theirs. Mishiacho, it's whoever wants it could come take it. V'halonota, and that now the mudar could go ahead and take that bottle of water. V'ochan, he could eat. Rabbi Yossi, also Rabbi Yossi doesn't like this last approach, it seems. He doesn't, the Gemara is going to explain his reasoning, or perhaps which case he's referring to. Rabbi Yossi says, it's asr. It seems that all the, I don't remember, the Gemara is going to say why we have so many different cases, we're teaching the same underlying principle. That if you can pass the mother gives the mudar vis-a-vis a third party, all those scenarios are permitted.
The Ron says,
right? Which one?
Hayabes alivnos.
Hayabes alivnos, okay. Hayabes alivnos, so he says, lo zu avzu katanim. It's one of these cases where we say that, you're right, it was really unnecessary to go through each and every case, but sometimes the Mishnahs do that, and it was unnecessary to say them, but we have this klal lo zu avzu katani sometimes. Bereisha Ashmina, and he continues to explain, to the tzarech mizon ashari, for the purpose of food is permitted. V'seva kamashmalan, the afilu tzarech binyan beisa hatir, even for the purpose of building a house is permitted. Remember when I was in elementary school, he used to teach us that there are three things that were very, very important. There was eating, drinking, and shelter. So shelter is just as important as food. Now, it's just as important, but it's one of the basic needs. So, but either way, that's the chiddush that you would have thought maybe only food is permitted because that's really needed. Shelter you could get by without for somewhat of a period of time. But mashallah, not too. It's since there's a big tzarech, it's permitted. But what will come out is if, let's say, there is a situation that it's not a need like this. It's not a food. It's not shelter. It's, I don't know, a guy wants toys. Maybe you couldn't do this third-party approach, it sounds like. It has to be when there's a tzorech. The guy wants to play card games. He doesn't have any cards to play with. It seems like that wouldn't be permitted. Just one, but if you go to the Ron for a second, a little higher up, the second wide line down, holich etzel chenvani haragil etzlo. Something that seems like some harama going on here. When he gives the chenvani, the chenvani pays off the muda and he collects the money from the madir. So the Ron says, rebusa kamashan. This teaches us an added chiddush here. The afagav the ragil etzlo umakifo tadir. Even though this guy regularly went to his chenvani and he had a tab he used to go to and they had a certain relationship, lo arminin shlichusoy kavi. We don't say that by the chenvani supporting the mudar, it's being viewed as a shlichus of the madir and would be usher. Because if the madir would appoint a shliach and shlichus shel adam kamos, the Gemara tells us, of course, then it wouldn't be permitted. This is not considered shlichus. The kol shekein shem lo amar ladam yuchar eladamar kol hazan eno mafsid shari. The Gemara in Ketubos tells us if you say just anybody wants to feed my wife, the case there was is permitted. That's okay. Here it's a little bit more direct. You're telling the chenvani this is not considered shlichus. Now the Ron doesn't tell us why not, but he says that it isn't. I'm looking around on the side here if anybody else addresses this question because I'm curious to know why it isn't shlichus.
The next one says that there's actually no clear to pay Medina.
But it could still be shlichas though, even though let's see the Ron. The Ron says, "Bad noto mizeh." After the Chenvani goes and supports the Mudar, the Chenvani is going to go to the Madir now and collect the money. If he wants to. Even though in the end he's collecting money from the Madir, but that was his intention. It's not considered shlichas. Meaning, it can be a case of shlichus if he appointed him as a shliach. And it's talking about a specific case where he didn't appoint him as a shliach. Aval lekel meimer dechi katani bavanotu mizeh medina kamar, that he has to collect, that the mother has to pay back the money. Dechi mechayel l'shlumei alma shlichus sakavit. If he does have to pay, the mother, he needs to pay the chamani, it would be considered shlichus. And ene chanami mahani laiv asr, it would be considered him giving hanot to the mudar, and it would be, in fact, usher to do. Okay, so the case is where there was a shlichus being done, he had just some understanding between the two of them that you have the right to collect from me, but not an obligation to collect from me. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, my time with Rabbi Yossi. What was the reason Rabbi Yossi in the end said it's usher? So again, I don't know if he's talking about all the cases, but I guess since we're saying now all the cases are really the same, so Rabbi Yossi seems to argue in all of them. So my time with Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara explains, Kasavar Hefker Kimatana. I guess he's only arguing the last case then. Hefker is like Matana, meaning Ma Matana ad asim rishus nosin rishus mekabel af Hefker ad asim rishus zochem. Very important, Rabbi Yossi, and this is actually Machlokis and Rishonim posting how to understand Hefker in general. But what he's saying is as follows: Hefker is no different than Matana. Just like a Matana, if I'm giving Matana to Harry, so it doesn't become Harry's until he actually receives it. But as long as he doesn't receive it, it's still considered Marushus. So to Hefker, it's Machlokas again, Rishonim posting, how do you view Hefker? What's the Chakir in Hefker? I'll let you guys say it. I put Rubens on the spot, he's used to being called on, I'm sure. What's a Chakir by Hefker? Whether it's a Siluk, or whether it's a considered a Machne, it's considered a Matana. So if it's a Siluk, where I'm completely relinquishing my Rishus from it, my ownership of it, so the moment I'm Afkir, it's not mine anymore. I have no Rishus. Even though nobody else has picked it up just yet, I'm being Masalik myself from this, it's considered unowned, ownerless. As opposed to if you assume that's more of a Hakna, so then it's only a Hakna if someone else actually receives it. If no one actually receives it, it's still considered mine until someone else gets it. So the Rabbi Yossi is assuming, the Gemara explains, that he assumes it's like a Hakna, that it's mine, just like a matana. If I'm in the process of giving to somebody else, and let's say I'm sending in the mail, so that matana is still actually mine until he receives it. Before he receives it, it's mine. Hefker, the same thing also. It's now available for anybody to take it, but before anybody takes it, it's still considered my possession. So that's Rabbi Yossi's understanding, that Hefker is considered Hakna. I think many poskim assume this way. Looking around here in the Ran. Right, the Ran just explains that Ma Matana ad asim rishus lenosin rishus haba kabel, that Matana doesn't leave my rishus until he receives it. Meaning, what's the nafkamina? Shim alma harini nosin matana zulaploni yachal achzer bo ad shegili adol shem kabel. I could go ahead and stop the UPS truck before it gets to my friend and say, you know what, I want to go back on this gift. You're allowed to. So Af Hefker, he says ad asil rishus zocher sheinu yosim rishus bala ad shischa bo acher, until the other guy receives it. I could always go back and pick it up. So he's being directly getting hana from the madir. And for that reason, Rabbi Yosef permits it.
Prohibits
it. Hefker chametz erev Pesach. So
if it's still...
So who, first of all, you're assuming that it's Hefker. The process of...
Right, that you're actually being mafker or something.
Right.
Okay. That's what it seems to be. That's what we're saying.
So Bittel and Hashvasas Chametz Tosos Mitzachem assume it's Hefker. He does take this seriously, and he says, if it's Hefker, wait a second. To do Hefker, really, you need a few people. You need Bezdin to do Hefker. So he assumes that way, that it really is considered Hefker. So there are certain deem that you need. So he might assume, I don't remember, he might assume that you don't need this. This is according to Rabbi Yossi. Not everybody requires that. But there are others. The Ramban, I think, doesn't think it's considered Hefker. That Shvasas Chametz is not considered Hefker. It's a different type of track. It's a din of being Tashbisu. It's not a din of Hefker. That's Machlokas Rishonim. Okay.
So when you say Levatel have a Hefker Kafar Adara, it doesn't really mean it should be Hefker.
Correct. Right. They actually bring a. They talk about whether a person can be Mafkir on Shabbos. There's a Me'iri about this in the Masech HaShabbos. I think the Ramban also, the Masechim, talks about whether you can be mafker on Shabbos. So the Gemara in Beitza says at the end, the Mishnah Beitza says you can't buy and sell things on Shabbos because it might lead to writing things down. There's no real problem of buying and selling, but it might lead to writing things down and keeping a tab. So if Hefker is considered a Hakna, like Rabbi Yossi assumes, it would be Aser as well. If it's considered a Siluk, then it would be permitted. So the Ramban there, that discussion in Masechim, talking about Hefker and Shabbos, they bring a Raya, maybe the Me'iri brings a Raya or so, that we see since you're allowed to do Tashbisu, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you're allowed to do Tashbisu, you can be mafkir any chametz you have left over, you see you can do Hefker on Shabbos. But that's all assuming that Tashbisu is midin Hefker. Others say, nothing, no, what do you mean? That's not Hefker. Tashbisu is a completely different din. There's no riot from Tashbisu to Hefker. Hefker is actually also on Shabbos. Tashbisu is a mother. Tashbisu is a different track. Okay. Gemara now asks on the bottom of Mem Gimel and Aleph, Mesiv Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba asks, v'hala, notel v'ochel, Rabbi Yossi Asr. So what happens is, so the last case of the Mishnah says that the person, they're walking, the two of them are together, and the Muda's getting very hungry, so the Madar could place it on the stone or on a fence, and he could say, Tefker, and then the Muda's allowed to take it. Rabbi Yossi prohibited doing that. And now the Gemara continues to qualify this, and before we ask the question, I'm Rabbi Yossi Amasai, when is this all true? Bizman shenidu kodem l'hafkir, only when they took the nether before being mafkir the food. Aval, but if it's a situation where they're first im haya hefkero kodem l'nidro, if first the madr said, he wasn't the madr yet, but he said that this is hefker, and then after that point the muda says, I'm not getting any hana from you, If that's the situation, if it's im haya hefkeru kodem lenidro, harei zeh mutter. Then it's mutter for the mudar to get hana. So wait a second. I amris ad the asi der shus zocha mali nidro kodem hefkeru mali hefkeru kodem lenidro. If we paskin, like we said before, Rabbi Yossi's understanding is that when I mafkir something, it's still considered my rishus until the other guy picks it up. So even if I was mafkir first and then made the nether, it still was never left my rishus, and it's still my property that he's getting hana from. The fact that we permitted it, that this brisa permits the situation of hefker and then taking the nether, sounds like once I'm mafkir, it's a complete siluk for my rishus. That's the kashya of the Gemara. We'll look at the rounds. I'm sure there's some interesting rounds on the side here. Let's just answer the question first. So who Mosifla, but who Mishanila? He asks the question. Who is Rabbi Abba? Rabbi Abba asks the question, and he also answers the question. What's the answer? Who Mosifla, who Mishanila? Koha no der ein daito al mash hifker. Interesting klal goes in type. The klal is that anybody who makes a nether, he doesn't have in mind in anything that's hefker. When I'm the mudra, let's say, I said, I'm not getting any hana from you. So I have in mind, even though technically you own the object, because no one actually picked up the hefker object, I didn't think about that hefker object being part of the nether. And it's a special, just a klal laid down by the Gemara here. Let's look at some rounds here. Not too many rounds, actually. I thought there'd be more. Okay, so let's look at the round. There's one round here in Mem Gimel Mid Beis in the top. The round says, Kol anodir ein daito al mashe hefker. Ein hachanami demati hader bay. The mother could always retract because it's still technically in his possession until somebody picks it up. And if the mudar said explicitly that I want to include that object and that he was mafkir, that would be chal. The reason why it's permitted here is mishum dechol ha'osu nichasav stam ein daita al mash hivkir. When your mother make a neder, seemingly you don't have in mind that's which he made hefker again, even though it's actually his still. Okay. And then the Gemara says, Mesiv Rava asks, Miktsasan le Rishon v'kul n'sheni. Rishon kana, sheni lo kana. So the Gemara appears above Basra. What's this referring to? So look at the Ran here. The Ran says, Hachi garsinon, Mesiv Rava Miktsasan le Rishon v'kul n'sheni, sheni zacha l'shabed Rishon. What it means is as follows. Misha yeshlo shnei avadim. A guy has two slaves. V'nasan miktas nechasa l'rishon. He gives some of the property to one the slave, v'charkach nasan l'sheni. Then he gives all the property, the girsa change there. Then he gives to the second guy, lo kana rishon. Now, part of the issue is, by the way, an Eved is an Eved Kanani, we're talking about. Eved Kanani has no right to buy anything or to acquire anything, because anything he acquires ultimately goes back to the master. So let's see what's going on. The Dilma, Begufei Shire, since when he gave to the first Eved some property, not all property, maybe he never gave him the rights to himself as the Eved to own himself, and he doesn't own himself, he has no right to acquire anything. So again, the Dilma, Begufei Shire, maybe he left over the rights to himself, and that wasn't given over to the first Eved. The Chavin Sha'asma Lokana, Nechasim Nami Lokana. Since the Eved can't acquire himself, he also cannot acquire the Nechasim, the Avdi Dekani Nechsehau. Aval Sheini Zacha Basmo, because the case is when he gave to the second guy all, he gave the second guy everything. So since the second guy, Zacha Basmo, Uber Nechasim, Zacha Nami Lishtabit Barishon, Dilagave Leke Shiura. But since the second guy, he gave everything, including himself and all the property, he was also Zocha, the Eved Rishon now goes to the Eved Sheni, who just had bought or acquired his freedom. And let's finish the Ron for a second with the readers back inside. V'i Amris De'ein Daito Amash Hivker, Hachanami In Daito Amash Nasan Kvar. So here the case is that if the Eved, the master rather, gave something over to the first Eved, and then he gave over everything to the second Eved, seemingly when he gave over to the second Eved, he didn't have in mind that which he gave to the first Eved. So I don't understand what the question is, because the first Eved was never really acquired anything. I guess we're viewing this as a hefker. So let's read this inside the Gemara one more time to try to get this clear. Again, Mesiv Rava, Niktasan L'Rishon, you give some of the property to the Eved Rishon, V'chulon L'Sheni, and then you give everything to the second Eved, Rishon Kana, Sheni L'Kana. Oh, so that's a different gear than we had in the Ron. Right, the Rishon, the Ran reads Rishon lo kana, Sheni kana. I think so. Wow, a lot of confusing yourselves here today. Here, I'm going to read the Masifta side. We'll do the Girsa in front of us first, then we could do the rounds of the Girsa. The way the Masifta says this, we're talking about Shchivimra, actually. Shchivimra is on his deathbed. He's writing a will to give all his property to two people, according to the Girsa of the Masifta. This is how the Mefarsh explains it, I guess. Yeah. So, nothing to do with the Vadim at this point. He's writing his will to two people. First, he writes some of the property off to one individual. And afterwards, he writes all the property to another individual. And the halacha is that the Rishon is going to be kone the property that was written, so it's part of the property that was given over to him, like a shchimera. And he cannot be chozer on this anymore. But the Sheni is not going to acquire anything, because the shchimera who gives away all his property, we don't allow him to give everything away. So the halacha is, again, a shchimera who writes this, it's not so much a will, but he thinks he's going to die, so he gives, writes off some property, and then he gets healed, he gets healthy, and he comes, he's strong and well. So what's halacha? So if he gave a partial matana, so we say that partial matana is going to stay because he gave it as a matana. But if he writes off all his property, the only reason why he wrote all his property is because he thought he was going to die. But since he ended up getting better and healthier, so he didn't die, so he didn't have in mind giving everything away if he were to know he was getting better. So that's why by the first guy it was a good kidney, because he only gave part of it away. That was like a real matana. But to the second guy who gave everything to, and he ended up getting better, that kidney won't work. That's all according to the girsa in front of us. According to the Ran's girsa, as we saw, we're talking about a situation of a healthy person who has given some of his property over to one of his avadim, and all the other properties to his second evad. And the Rishon won't be kona, because as we said in the Ran, it's possible that the Rishon was never kona his body. As the evad kanani, he was never kona. But the second guy can be makabel all the property, and he's also zocheh to own now the first evet. So those are two different yourselves. So the answer to the Gemara. So what we see from all of this, though, is that let's see, now try to get this back to the question. So according to, let's go to the Shchimera case for a second. The girsa in front of us in the Gemara. The Shchimera case. So why is there a shiloh here?
The first explains. He says that you left some out when you gave it to the first guy, right?
Uh-huh.
So that should be, so then implicitly you left some out when you gave some to the second guy, because you're giving everything to the second guy, but you already left some of your property out by giving it to the first guy, and that really goes back to you if you ever get healthy again. So then that must mean dato amasha if.
Yeah.
But the Ran makes a lot more sense, I think.
So let's see the Mefarish, and then we'll go to the Ran. The Mefarish, you're saying, I see three narrow lines up in Rashi. It's in the middle of a Dibur HaMaschah. It says, V'yamris. From that point,
yeah.
I guess. I think, V'yamris, lo havi matana ad dematili liyad hamakabel. If it's not a gift until it's received. Amai kana rishon tfei misheni. Why is the first guy going to be kona any more than the second guy? Ha'kaven de lo asa liyade lo havi shalom. Since he never received it. Even the rishon, he never received it. Since the Rishon guy was considered left out to the Sheni guy is considered left out to the Rishon. It's still considered in the Rishus of the Nosen. The fact that the Rishon is going to be Kona, Shmami, now we learn from here the Lesser, Lahadir Yochon, Damar Lozachim, Mikaba, Adasuliade. Yes, the fact is that he can't be chozer on it anymore indicates that it's considered given over once you give it out, even though it hasn't been physically given in the hand. Once the rights were given over to the Makabel, it's considered his, and you can't be chozer anymore.
Right, but the problem with the Farish is Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Hefker, and he said, now we're talking about Shtiv Mirah, Manah Shtiv Mirah is not Hefker.
Right.
It's Matana.
Well, we were comparing, in the beginning we initially compared Hefker and Matana.
And now he's questioning the whole principle of Matana, according to
That's a good point.
So that's why Ron says that it's actually questioning the principle of
Hefker.
Of Rebaba. No, not Hefker. Seems like no one can get to Hefker. So he says, especially the principle of Ravaba, that Ein Dafto Amasha Hefker.
But where's the Hefker case? Rabbi Abba's a statement about Hefker as well.
Right. He says, no one says it's talking about just Hefker. When the Ron says it's questioning the principle of Ein Dafto Amasha Hefker, because.
He has to be expanding that klal. In my diet, Masha hisna also, or nosna.
Right. That klal is.
Right. He's expanding that a little bit. Right. But as opposed to the mefarish, the challenge here is, that the person's not zoche until it gets to his hands.
Right.
That's the klal.
Okay. The whole idea that the matana doesn't go until.
Right. Okay, so very, very good. So that's the machlok. Okay, so that's a bit confusing. So anyways, what's the answer? We'll see if we can get the answer for both the Ryan and the Mefarish. So Ella, Amar Rava explains, Hainu Taima de Rabbi Yossi. The reason Rabbi Yossi is really, Gzeir Mishum Matnas Beis Charon. Going back to Rabbi Yossi, the reasoning has nothing to do with Hefker, making Neder Ein Daitel Masha Hefker. It's a different klal of Gzeir Mishum Matnas Beis Charon. So what does this mean? So if you look at the Ryan, Ron says the last few narrow lines. El Amar Rava Taima de Biyosi Mishim Matnas Beis Chorin Amar Umidina Vada Efila Rabbi Yossi Sharin. Mikradin, Rabbi Yossi agrees that two guys are walking along the way, Mudin and Madir. The Madir may place the object on the stone and be mafkir, and the Mudir may pick it up and drink it. That's permitted, Mikradin. The Mechi Afkare Nafkale Mirshus. At the moment you're mafkir, it leaves the Rishus of the Madir, and it's completely ownerless. Since we know that he only mafkit on purpose of this guy getting hana from this, if we permit that, then it will be permitted in a situation where he says, oh, here's the bottle of water for you, it's going to lead to real isur. Like the story of Beis Charon, we'll see later on in our parak. Fine, the case there is, there's a mishnah later on, doesn't say which daf, maybe it's tomorrow, no, it's not tomorrow, it's daf, I'm an aleph somewhere. The situation is a person says, I can't get hana for my son or something like that, and he wants to make his son a nice wedding, but he doesn't have the right to because he can't give hana to his son. So he says, okay, I'm giving you as a matana to his friend, and you make the wedding hall for my son. So the guy who receives the matana, he says, I tell you what, I'm going to be Makdish this wedding hall. He says, no, you can't be Makdish the wedding hall. I only wanted to use it for a wedding hall, not to be Makdish it. So he said, then any Matana, Kol Matana, She'ena Yachal Hakdish or something, is not considered a Matana. To give it for a particular reason is not permitted. So here too also, if I'm being Mafkid only for the purpose of the mood they're getting hana from it, that's not considered hefker. It has to be real mamish hefker, real mamish matana. It's very similar to the case of Pidyon HaBen also, where, I don't remember if the Gemara itself here connects it to that, but if you give, let's say many families have this 5 silver coins that they pass from family to family. So they give it to the Kohen to do Pidyon HaBen, and they want the money back. Well, it's not considered matana. If you give them money and expect it to come back to you, that's not considered matana. It gets into the discussion of matana al-masla haqsir, sugiz and b'choros talk about this. But that's not considered matana. Matana means, the hefker means that you have relinquished full rights. The guy wants to give it back to you, great, he can. But if you expect it to come back to you and you don't let him do anything else with it, that's not considered matana, that's not considered hefker. So for that reason, the Gemara explains, the Ron explains to the Gemara, that it's not permitted. And then just continuing back in the Gemara, in the Ran rather, again, Uchemaisa de Beis Charon, de Tanabe Pirkin de Lakaman, Veinchel of Necha Elkadesh Yavo Ab of Yocha Imanu, Umishim Hachi. For this reason, Dafka Benidr Kodum Lafkeir, therefore it's only the Neder comes before the Hefker, Aser, Dikl Megzer. Aval Hefker Kodum the Nidr Shar, but if you made Hefker first, and then you made the Neder, then that's permitted. Why? What's the Svara there?
Because then you don't. There's no issue.
There's no issue. You are mafkid for this purpose. Uh-huh.
Right. If the guy is, if you put it down and say it's hefker, then you say, oh, and also he's my.
Okay. Fine. So that's how we get out of this. Beautiful. Should we keep going right there? Tomorrow's a short off, it looks like.
According to the Pirush, the question, why did you have to dafka ask by a case of whether it's a Rishon and a Sheni? Couldn't you just ask the same question in the case of Matan Shchiv Mera, where someone gives somebody a partial amount? Why do we say the partial amount works? And if he's on Mondi, he can't be Choser. If the matan is not into his hands until he gets up, so it should never work. It's mashma like there's something here about the fact that he was mashayer to the sheni.
Something like that. Yeah, is saying something. The fact that he's mashayer to the rishon is mashayer back to the sheni. He is saying something like that. I agree. What is he saying though? Let's see what the Masifta explains here back to that question. So the fact that the Rishon gets a little bit of the property, that's the first case. It's clear that when he gives over to the Shani all the properties, we don't say...
It doesn't sound like he's giving all the properties, he's saying the rest of the properties.
Yeah, whatever's left, exactly. So, but he says, we don't say his Kavanah was only on the remaining though, rather we say he was being Chozer on the Rishon, and he actually wanted to give everything to the Shani now. That seemed to be his intentions. He actually included even the Rishon. Because if you say, if you explain that with giving the Sheni, he didn't have Kavana on being Chozer to the Rishon, rather he just gave over the remaining, if that's the case, then the Rishon shouldn't be Zoch either. Because a Shchimir who gives away all his properties, even though it's some to this person, some to that person, the din is if he gets healthy, everything goes back. So therefore we have to say it has to be where he planned to give everything to the Sheni. You see that? Because if he wants to give half to Rishon, half to Shani, which is everything, and he gets healthy, everything goes away. He only gives the Rishon a little bit, so that's a good matana. Then everything to the Shani, he clearly wanted to have in mind to give everything, even the Rishon's guy, Rishon's matana, back to the Shani.
Chazara on the first part.
Exactly.
Straight from the Rush.
That's straight from the Rush. Oh, the Rush is also, yeah?
Yeah, that's reading.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a straight from the Rush.
Oftentimes we do that. When I read the Ran and Mefarsh in the article, or more so the Hebrew article, it's basically word for word of what Rashi says as we go on.
I think that's actually some reason I remember from Avatar that there is a Mechlokes Rashi and Tosis about something similar to this.
Yeah, about, you don't know which topic? Hefker?
Yeah, the thing that this point that the Rashi just made.
Uh-huh. About being Chozer? On this matana. All right, I guess either way we'll stop here. I guess. And tomorrow seems like it's going to be very short, though. Wow, very short.
These blot are really difficult. I mean, yesterday's blot.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Really, really difficult. Yeah.